the inside. She got the scoop on the ones to watch, on the ones that's hot. No one can do it quite like Caroline. Caroline. No one can do it quite like Caroline. It's time for Caroline.
I am so excited to be back for my second episode of my wives series. I have Hannah Mooney in the house. What? Hannah is married to Shay of Dan and Shay. So this is awesome that she's my second guest, because Abby Smyers was my first guest, who is married to Dan of Dan and Shay. So they are sister wives. They are both incredible in their own right. Hannah is a freaking supermodel. You see her and your jaw hits the floor because she's literally perfect looking. And her soul is even sweeter. She's pure love, just the brightest light. So kind and sweet. And Shay, her husband, is the funniest person ever. So together, they're just the happiest couple. Hannah grew up in a farm town and was super responsible from a young age and started raising cow-calf pairs. I had to ask her twice what that was. Cow-calf pairs, where she would buy a cow and its calf and sell them, making money, saving for college. She got into the pageant world for scholarship money because she was so responsible that she was finding ways to make money as a young person. She ended up winning Mrs. Arkansas because she's just that amazing, without even really stressing out about it or putting too much pressure on it. Won the whole thing. Now she lives in Nashville with Shay. They have the most precious child, Asher. Oh my gosh, heart melting. And she and Shay just have this beautiful life. And I'm so happy that she's joining me. You're gonna love her story. Before we kick it off with Hannah, I want to talk to you about a brand that I'm so excited to be partnering with. The Ava bracelet is a game changer for any woman who is trying to conceive or just get in touch with her body. This bracelet is changing the game. Peeing on sticks, taking your temperature every day, playing the guessing game with apps. It's all less than ideal to predict your most fertile days or to find out that you ovulated after the fact. And then you have to wait till the next month, which is so frustrating. The Ava bracelet is making it easier for women than ever to know their fertile window. You wear the Ava bracelet at night, you connect to the Ava app in the morning, and you get insights on changes in physiological parameters that detect where you are in your cycle, including your most fertile days in real time. Ava doubles your chances of conceiving each month. So if you're planning on growing your family, I could not recommend this more. Head on over to avawomen.com. That's AVAWOMEN.com. Again, AVAWOMEN.com. And enter the code REALTALK for $20 off your order. The code is REALTALK, R-E-A-L-T-A-L-K, for $20 off your order. Head on over to avawomen.com right now and grab your own very own Ava bracelet. Another brand I'm super pumped to be partnering with is Care Of Vitamins. Care Of is a monthly subscription vitamin service that delivers completely personalized vitamins and supplement packs right to your door. All you got to do is go to Care Of's website and take a quick online quiz that takes less than 5 minutes, talking to you about your diet, health goals, lifestyle choices, and you find out exactly what vitamin and supplements that you specifically need. Your vitamins are delivered right to your door in a personalized, easy to remember daily pack, perfect for a busy, on-the-go person like myself. Care Of puts honesty first. They absolutely provide that all the research that supports each of their recommendations is backed by a scientific advisory board, so you can trust this product. So go on over to their website. It's takecareof.com, TakeCareOf.com, and enter the promo code CARO, CARO, for 25% off your order. Again, go to takecareof.com and enter the promo code CARO for 25% off of your first month of personalized Care Of Vitamins. All right, here is Hannah in the house.
What's up, Hannah Mooney?
How are you, Caroline?
Fantastic. I'm so happy to be in your house.
Good to be here.
I'm one of the last people that gets to be in this house.
You are. Actually, you definitely are. Shay's sister just came over from Arkansas and she left and she was like, wait, I'll never see it again.
Because you're out of here.
We're gone in like a couple weeks.
You're gone. I'm going to have you put this right up to your mouth. Yes, right into the microphone.
Right into the mic.
Yes, right into the mic. You've got this great voice. Like,
do
you,
I?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
You've got a great voice. You're beautiful. You have the perfect body of anyone I have ever seen.
Stop.
Literally.
Just wait till Thanksgiving gets here. It's going to be good.
I mean, you've got great hair.
Fluff that body right up.
I can see why you're Mrs. Arkansas.
Well,
I mean,
I couldn't.
I would have voted for you.
I was the most shocked person there when I won.
How did you get into that? Okay, because you're going to Arkansas for Thanksgiving, and I was like, tell me about your childhood.
Yes.
And how you got into pageantry and then won the whole thing.
Well, I'm not per se a pageant Patty.
A pageant Patty.
Yes, those are that's a thing.
That's a thing.
It's like when
that's
you grow name. Up and you're literally trained for it, and like your whole life is to do pageants and win and become Miss America. That wasn't me.
Okay.
I did do pageants from local, like when I was little.
Yeah.
Because it was like the one time a year you get to wear a pretty dress and like girls just dress up and it's cute.
Yes.
Was not like a hardcore, didn't do anything else. But then I got to college and one of my college roommates was like, you should do this. She was in the Miss America system. She competed.
Oh, okay.
And I was like.
And it's a thing. There's professional competitors,
it's
right?
It's a thing. It's a thing. People do interview coaching.
Oh, dang.
Talent. It's like, there's a lot that goes into it. A lot.
Okay.
So she talked me into it. It was a preliminary. And I was like, okay, well, the worst I can do is lose. And the best I can do is win scholarship money. And like, I had my own side story on how I paid for college. With my cattle.
Cattle?
Yes.
Are you a farm girl?
Yes. I grew up on a farm.
What did you do on the farm?
So it was a cattle farm, still is, from Arkansas. And when I was little, I took out a loan for $5,000. I was like 10 or 12.
You could take out a loan?
It was a youth, it was through the agricultural department. And it was a youth program. So the interest was very little.
Okay.
So I took it out, and my dad co-signed, but it was on me.
And what were your plans with this $5,000?
So I bought 6 cow-calf pairs.
Cow-calf pairs?
Yes, and this is not the first time that I have been asked this question.
this is the first time?
It is not. People seem to be very interested in cow-calf pairs. It's a mama cow and a baby cow. Cow-calf pairs, but you buy them as like one. It's like
cow is
like
mother,
a twofer.
Calf is
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do? What'd you do with that?
Well, like I said, I bought 6 cow-calf pairs, and I kept all the mamas, and I sold the babies, and I just I saved all the money I would make, and I still have cattle. I built up my herd a little bit, but every time I would sell, I saved that money away, and then by the time I got to college, paired with scholarships. And that money, I was debt free.
How did you even know to do that?
I just really.
And how did you know to plan for your future at 10?
I was just, I grew up in the middle of nowhere, and it's not like we had a mall nearby. It was 3 hours away, so that wasn't an option. And I just loved the idea of saving my money. I was a weird little kid, I guess.
But that is so financially responsible to be so young.
I mean, looking back, I'm like, dang, I nailed it. Like, nailed what happened to that?
So are you still selling cow-calf pairs?
I do. My mom just texted me this week, and she was like, oh, we just sold another one of your calves. And I was like, great.
So you've had a job since you were 10?
Yes, basically.
Were your parents so proud of you?
I think they were pretty proud. My mom never wanted me to... she didn't want me to have like a job at 16 that took away from my schoolwork, because she obviously wanted me to, you know, focus on my grades. And I was in every extracurricular.
Like what? What did you like the most?
What did I like? I literally did everything. I played softball. I played basketball. I was in FFA, FCA, FBLA.
What is FBLA?
Future Business Leaders of America. I was in art club, I was in Spanish, I was in history, you name it. If there was a club for it, I was in it.
So you just like to be involved?
I just did it all.
You like to do everything. You're curious about it all.
I am like a jack of, what is it? A
jack of all
trades? Jack of all trades,
Jane of
all
trades.
And a master of none.
Well, I walk into your house today and there's this gigantic canvas in the corner with this beautiful tree that's in gold with like all this like texture on it. And I'm like, did you freaking paint that? And you're like, oh yeah.
I paint. Yeah, I've just, what? I dabble. When I went to college, I didn't declare because I knew I'd want to look around, but at my heart, I'm a creative person. And so I knew photography or something art related was what I wanted to do. But the practical me, you know, the one that saved money for college.
Cow-calf pairs.
Yes. The practical me was like, that probably isn't great with the economy right now. So I chose something a little bit more practical, and was just, I graduated to graduate.
Wow.
Anyway.
So what was your major?
I ended up I ended up with a degree in consumer sciences.
Okay.
Just because I literally went in after I won Miss Arkansas.
Okay. So how'd you get in that? Your friend made you get in Miss Arkansas.
Yes, that was my freshman year.
Okay.
And I was like, you know, worst I could do is lose. The mm-hmm. best I can do is win scholarship money and help, you know,
pay for college.
And I already had a dress and from like homecoming or something. And
so just a dress you already had.
Yes.
You're not making this your life's goal to go find the perfect dress.
Definitely not. I literally had to type up a platform and hope for the best.
So what does typing up a platform mean? Like, what are you going to stand for if you win?
Yes.
And what were you going to stand
for? Well, at the time, it was sustainable agriculture because I grew up on a farm. So that was my whole spiel. That changed through the years. But I did that first pageant, and I had to have a talent.
Oh, okay. And what?
What? Just know that in the America system, and this, I kind of get on a soapbox about this because I love the fact that pageants are about empowering women and they're about scholarship. I mean, that is the foundation, is empowering women and, you know, providing scholarship money to further their education. Mm-hmm. That was the whole principle. That was the whole point for me. Then I got into it and realized that the different types of pageants, the different organizations kind of turn up their nose at each other because they're a little different.
And so like America versus USA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you were doing Miss America.
I was doing America at the time.
Because Miss USA doesn't have to have a talent.
Exactly. Right. In fact, and so I did this pageant and I attempted to sing. I didn't sing well.
Okay.
It's not a good thing. Don't you ask me to sing for you.
Come on, do it.
But I did. I sang Carrie Underwood, I think.
Heck yeah.
And
which
yeah,
song?
Big shoes to fill. I told you so. It was.
Oh, I told.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, did you let really it rip? You let it rip. Can I find this online?
You can't. I hope you can't. I'm going to go as soon as you leave and
try to block it all.
Yeah. So I did that and I actually placed. And I was shocked and I'm pretty sure my roommate was shocked. And anyway, but I won.
So what place did you get?
Like third runner-up or something.
That's freaking awesome.
It was a big pageant. It was an open pageant.
Yeah.
So there were a lot of girls in it. And for my first one ever, I mean,
that's
it was
pretty
okay.
freaking awesome.
So I was like, okay, well, I can do this.
Maybe I'll like work on it a little bit
right.
this time.
So I ended up doing interview coaching for a couple of years. And I even went to a vocal coach and bless her heart, I love her to pieces, but she was just more of moral support to me than there's nothing she could do with me, you know.
I don't believe that.
Well, so I did that and I went on to compete in Miss Arkansas America for a couple of years. Very, very competitive. I will say that the South is like the SEC of pageantry.
Okay.
It's tough.
Okay.
It's tough.
Like they're career pageant girls.
They are. And yeah. And these women, like you will not come up against other women that are more qualified for being state representatives.
Okay.
It's wow. But you know, the way that the scoring was in that system, talent is one of the highest scores.
So you really got to work on that Carrie Underwood scene.
Yeah. And you know, here's the thing. This is my soapbox. I'm just going to get this off my chest and
let it rip.
Okay. My thing is, I think everyone on this earth has a talent. I think we're all gifted.
Yes.
I think that people are loving or patient or they have a spirit of a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
But it does not necessarily mean, I mean, they may be athletes. I played sports.
Yeah.
I wasn't a dancer. I didn't play an instrument. And so, but for this system in particular, you had to have a 90-second talent. And I was like,
and that's the thing. You're like, not all talents you can perform.
Exactly. Exactly. It was not, I felt like I had a lot of talents, but they weren't something that provided entertainment value necessarily.
True that. Great distinction.
And, you know, while it's a wonderful system, I finally had someone tell me one time, they're like, you are just... You should really think about going into Miss USA because they don't require talent. And I was just like, well, there's my sign. Like,
thank you.
Thanks. I think. But I knew it. And
so did you stick with America or go to Miss USA?
You know, that last year that I did America, I trained really hard. I really worked on my body.
I was strict diet, working out all the
absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely. For 2 years, I was so fit. I'm not talking skinny. I'm talking I had muscle tone and ate very healthy and was... It wasn't, I don't know, I think you can look at pageant girls and think, ooh, mm-hmm. I was just so healthy. Mm-hmm. And I was proud of that. And I had worked really hard for those 2 years. And after I competed that year and didn't do anything, I was like, you know, I'm going to sign up for Arkansas USA because my bod's already there.
Yep.
And it was like a few months away.
Okay. So you're, like, you're already ready.
I was ready. I was like, and this is it. If, you know, if nothing happens, that's fine. I'm done with pageants. No, you know.
This was your swan song, your last hurrah.
This was my last hurrah, and okay. I wasn't sad about it. I was like, God's got a plan for me, and if this isn't it, that's fine because I've won scholarship money, and I have now been prepared for interviews, you know, after college, and I had friendships, and
so it was a win-win all the way across the board.
I was like, all right, well, let me just go over here to USA and see what happens, and I won the thing.
How was that? How does that feel when you win?
I didn't even tell anyone I was in it. We didn't even tell my family. I don't think my dad even knew.
Are you serious?
Literally, it was my mom and one of my cousins and one of our sweet friends from that area that the pageant was held in, and didn't tell anyone else.
Because you just were just doing it.
I was just doing it. I didn't have any expectation. I was just like, God, you got this.
That's probably the way to do it, not putting so much pressure on it.
I think that was it. Honestly, I went in, and the thing that they told me after, you know, when they gave feedback, they were like, you were just so genuine, and it was not
desperate for it.
Right. It wasn't rehearsed. It was just me going in, and I was comfortable because, like I said, I had no expectation. So I did. I won the thing, and
so how does that feel? What happens when you win? Are you then on a big tour around the state?
Well, I took off half a semester because I did travel a lot.
Was that fun?
It was fun. It was fun, and I've never considered myself like a speaker per se. This drives mom crazy. I'm a fly by the seat of my pants kind of person. I don't prepare speeches, and every time I went somewhere, mom would say, "Do you know what you're going to say?" And I was like, "I'll say it when I get up there." Which I don't recommend for everyone.
Right.
And I had talking points, I guess, but I just...
You wanted it to flow out of you.
I did.
And you're comfortable in front of people.
Surprisingly, I am. That's like, great. I'm a pretty quiet person, but I guess when you put me up there and one-on-one, I can talk your head off. So sorry.
I love it.
And actually, I traveled around. I talked to lots of kids, went to a lot of schools, and I got to tell them, you're all gifted, you know?
And that's kind of the message you wanted to get across. Because you were sort of, you rubbed a little bit wrong with the whole talent thing. Yeah. And you're like, listen, you're all talented.
Right. And
I love that.
And I, again, I'm so for any organization that allows scholarships for furthering one's education. And so I just hated, you know, for me to feel like I wasn't talented.
Yes.
Just because I didn't fit in the box that these
entertainment talents.
Yes. And so I traveled and I was like, kids, don't let anyone tell you, like, you might be an athlete, you might be a sweetheart, you might be a teacher, you might be a painter.
You might be a sweetheart. I love that.
It takes all kinds. I think we're all gifted. And so I just took that out there. And
that was your big message.
That was my message.
I told you Hannah was the sweetest person on the face of earth. She wants everyone to find their talent, and it doesn't have to be something that you can perform. I just love her sweet soul and what her message is. Oh, she's so precious. So speaking of messages, I talked to you guys about Care of Vitamins at the beginning of this episode. I'm going to talk to you about them again. I love Care of Vitamins because it makes taking your vitamins so easy. It's a monthly subscription. They deliver it right to your door. They personalize the vitamin packs based on your specific diet, health goals, lifestyle choices. You get a package with your name on it. It shows up so cute and so easy. You can just throw it in your purse, throw it in your pocket, take it with you. It makes taking vitamins so easy, and you're getting everything you need for you in particular, which I think is amazing. So another thing I love is a portion of every single sale goes towards the Good Foundation, which provides expectant mothers in need with valuable prenatal vitamins. So they're giving back. They have vegan and vegetarian options. All you have to do is go to their website, take a quick 5-minute or less online quiz that covers all of your health needs, your lifestyle,
and they will personalize these vitamins for you. So go to their website, takecareof.com, and enter the code C-A-R-O, CARO, for 25% off of your first personalized Care of vitamin package. Again, go to Take Care Of and enter the code CARO, C-A-R-O, and get 25% off of your first order. And ladies, especially my ladies who are trying to conceive and grow your family, I got to talk to y'all about the Ava bracelet again. I've been wearing it every night. It makes finding out when your fertile window is so much easier. Who wants to pee on the stick? Who wants to take your temperature every day? Not me. I love the Ava bracelet because all you got to do is wear it at night, and then when you wake up in the morning, you connect to your app, your Ava app, and it gives you all the insights that you need to detect when you are in your most fertile days in real time. Ava doubles your chances of conceiving each month. So if you're planning on growing your family, I could not recommend this more. Head to avawomen.com, avawomen.com, and enter the code REALTALK for $20 off your order. Again, head to avawomen.com and enter the code REALTALK for $20 off your order. Okay, now let's get back to sweet, sweet Hannah talking about why it's so important to her that everyone feels special and loved and seen for who they are. She truly is the sweetest person on earth. So here is Hannah.
I love that.
Yep.
Have you felt that way your whole life? That like you, I mean, not like, it's almost like not discriminating because you feel like everyone is so special. That's just how you feel?
I do. And honestly, I was that quiet kid. I was so quiet. I was
just taking it all in?
I was like a pushover my whole life.
Really?
I mean,
Did you have siblings or anything?
I did. I'm the baby.
Okay.
I'm the last of three.
So you're kind of just like, there's all these older people.
Yes.
Always doing just life, and you're just kind of hanging on.
Yeah. My brother, oh my gosh, my brother, such an athlete and so good looking. And I was just like, I always joked, my sister is about biochemist.
Okay. So there's a lot going
on.
And
she's got her master's degree, like... She's got her doctorates, and I'm like over here. I always joked, and I was like, I'm the leftover parts.
I felt that way. I was the youngest one, and I always felt like I could never compare to my older sister.
Yes.
Because she was just the greatest. And I was like, I don't think I'm really good at anything.
Yes. And look, here we are.
But
I feel like both of us are the jack of all trades.
And you also wrote that on your Instagram. I told you before we started this interview, I was stalking you hard on your Instagram.
Yes.
But you said how you really relate to broken people.
Yes.
And you feel like those are your favorite type of people.
They are.
I feel that same way because there's just no air of trying to be perfect.
No.
You just put it out in the beginning. Listen, here's my stuff.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I tried to scare Shay off.
I know. You said part one and part two. Tell me about how you tried to scare him off.
I did. I literally had gone through too much in my relationship life, and I was in this, I call it my still season.
Talk to me about that. I feel like I've been in that season.
Yes.
It's kind of a weird season.
It's a weird season, but also it was a good place. I think a lot of times girls and young women are out there and they feel like they need someone or they feel desperate to fill that void. And I kind of came to, not necessarily rock bottom, but I just came to a point where I was like, ugh.
And what did that all stem from? Like relationships?
Man, I had gone through a really, really, really bad relationship for years even. And I was trying to get away from it. It was very toxic. I won't go into all the details, but it was just very toxic. And I was trying to get
away
from that.
It's hard to get out of those, too.
It was so hard.
Especially when you're young.
I actually moved a couple of times and he found me.
Oh, dang.
I needed distance. I needed a lot of distance. And I just needed some time to... And I was in that all through college. So from 20 to like 22.
So a majority of your like...
College career.
College,
I was in a very controlling relationship. And so I got out of that. And I don't know, I was about to graduate. I didn't have a place to live. I didn't know who I was going to live with. Didn't have a job lined up. It was kind of this place where you're like, what am I doing?
Totally. Know that
and
feeling.
I know we all do it. I'm still doing it.
I know. I think the older you get though and the more you've been through it, it's not quite as scary when you hit that still season again. you know, because like Definitely. The first time you hit it, you're like, for me at least, it like, oh, I'm so dramatic with my feelings mm-hmm. that it like sends me to depression. I'm like, yeah. my life is over.
No, and I'm familiar with that place. I am familiar with that place.
What do you
place.
Do when you're in that place? Because you this still season, you turned into something peaceful and beautiful.
I did.
What
I,
do you do when it's not peaceful and beautiful?
Literally, and I know this is cliche, but I just took it to God. And I know there's a saying, and it's like, you know, when you can't go down any further, the only place you can do is look up or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's true. And I literally was like, I'm tired. And I give up, and you've got it. And whatever happens, like, I don't even have an idea of what can happen. I'm just
stuck, like, just like at a standstill.
Right. Almost. And I was like, you take it because I'm so tired. And that's all, I think that's all he wanted for me. And just like that.
You really handed it over. Did you feel the release?
Yes, I let it go. And that's so hard.
It's so hard to let go of all that control. Yes.
There's a quote, and I say it all the time. And it's a prayer, actually. And it's, Lord, forgive me for picking back up what I laid down at your feet. And you know we're always picking that back up. You know we're always like, oh, but I think I've got an idea for how to handle this.
Yes.
And let me just do that. And I got it.
Like, let me just take that back. Kristen Breast and I talk about that all the time. Yes. We're like, okay, we tell, like, God, we're handing this over. But then we'll call each other and be like, yeah, I'm just trying to take back all the stuff from God. Because yes. I'm better at controlling it than him, obviously.
Yes, obviously. I've really got it all figured out.
It's really working out when I try to control it.
But I did. I was just to the point where I was tired and I was like, you got it. Like
you're just done.
All of a sudden, things fell into place.
Okay, like what fell into place?
I found a roommate. I found a place to live.
And you're still in Arkansas?
Yes.
Okay.
But I was in central Arkansas and I moved to northwest Arkansas, like 3 or 4 hours away.
Okay.
So found a roommate and a place to live in northwest Arkansas. Found a job. I actually stayed with my old boss so our lease was up with my roommate at the time. Our lease was up in a month, but I graduated college 2 weeks after.
Okay.
So I was essentially going to be homeless for 2 weeks.
Okay.
And I didn't know
where to stay.
Right. But my boss that I worked for, all through college, she's like my bestie. Miss Joanne, she's like 70 and
she's awesome.
We're spirit animals.
What do you love about Miss Joanne?
Oh, she calls me the daughter she never had. She has two sons, but she's literally me when I grow up. And we all through college for like 3 or 4 years, we just were there for each other through a lot. I stayed with her and we were roomies.
That's freaking awesome.
It was amazing. It was like the
What happened in those 2 weeks that you lived with Miss Joanne?
I actually lived with her throughout the rest of that year. I paid rent for my place in Northwest Arkansas and I helped her close up her shop.
So what did you learn living with her? What did you take away? Because she was much older, but y'all are similar.
She was, but we're so similar.
What'd you gather about life that she taught you?
Oh man, she just has this infectious joy.
Always just keeps the joy.
Always just bubbly. Just so bubbly. And I actually called her up last week just to talk. And I was like, Miss Joanne, how are you? And she's just filling me in on life. And she just, I just love her to pieces.
How do people keep that infectious joy? Man, do you think it has to be through faith? Because I know you're really faithful.
I am, but it's funny that you ask me that because this week I was listening to a sermon on the spirits, the gifts, the
fruits of
the spirit. Yes. Thank you. My brain is foggy and Asher's napping and I've got a lot of tabs open.
I'm going to take that. A lot of tabs open.
Yes. The fruits of the spirit. And in the sermon, he was like, you know, everyone has at least one, but no one has all of them.
Yeah.
And I was kind of going through the list and I was like, I know I've got this one and this one. I think I have this one, but I got to joy and I was like, I don't think I have it like other people. Like, I think you have joy. I know you have joy.
Well, see, I feel that way the same that you feel is because I look at you and you radiate light and you're so easy going and like you post all these very uplifting comments and you're real and you're open. But to me, like for me, I just sometimes feel burdened by all my feelings. Like I have so many feelings.
All the feelings.
That they like hurt my feelings. Like sometimes I like am so heavy with my feelings.
I get it. And you know, Kristen, and we've been on the Enneagram.
What are you on the Enneagram?
I'm a 9. I'm a peacemaker. Oh. I literally want world peace.
Oh, and that's a hard thing to want.
It's hard.
And to try to keep that going.
It is.
Especially when it's your job to bring the peace to everyone.
It is. It's so hard. And I'm like a mom now. And it's like, I just want us all to be happy. And
how do you deal with like all of the, okay, because like we're just entering into like trying to have babies and all that world and everything. And I feel like even just like getting all the advice from mothers that are gone through it, people who are pregnant, there's like a million people with a million different ways to do it.
So how
do you have confidence? I've realized I don't have confidence in my own self.
I think that's the ticket.
How do you get that confidence?
I don't have confidence. It's really, let me just tell you about my birth story. Okay. I think that just sums up.
Okay.
What with I Asher? Do as a mom. Yes.
Okay. I know I'm going to like it.
I didn't have a birthing plan.
Why do people need a birthing plan?
Well, I don't know. I'm not a type A person. I just fly by the seat of my pants.
But doesn't it usually not go according to plan?
Exactly. And I'm like, why would you have a plan? You know, it's probably not going
to. And who wants to get all disappointed,
right?
Or stressed out
and get your feathers all ruffled?
So you kind of went in there and you're like, I'm going to just let Asher tell me what he needs.
Whatever my body says, that's what's going to happen.
I like
God's
that.
God's going to get this baby here. I literally read all these blogs and all these moms were like, well, this was my plan, but this is not how it happened. All of them. And I was like,
well, then why am I going to make a plan?
Why set yourself up for disappointment?
Amen.
So I went in and it's my last checkup before his due date, which was the following day.
Okay.
And I was like, by the way, she was like, everything looks good. And I was like, well, by the way, he slowed down. He hasn't been kicking as much. She was like, all right, well, let's have you monitored. So she had me monitored. The nurse comes in and she asked me how my contractions are. And I'm like,
like you're in labor?
And I'm like, do you mean like, what do you mean? And she was like, she was like, your contractions. And I was like, I'm having them. And she was like, looking at the little paper that's coming out of the monitor. And she was like, they're 3 minutes apart.
What does that mean? Like delivery's happening now?
I was contracting. And I was like, I wasn't dilated.
So what happens now?
Right. Well, that was my question.
So like, do I stay here? Am I like giving birth today?
Yeah. And she was like, well, so she brought my doctor and she was like, Hannah, you've been contracting? And then I was like, well, if this is contracting, I guess I've been doing it for 2 days.
Because you've been feeling something?
It was just like shortness of breath.
Okay.
I was literally like the woman on What to Expect When Expecting, when she like hiccups and has the baby and she can't feel the contractions. I didn't feel anything.
That's great.
I mean, I guess, but she was like, well, come in the morning, put you on Pitocin drip, and like see if we can get you like really dilated. Because I wasn't dilated. Okay. Not even half an inch.
Oh.
Or not even half a centimeter.
And you got to get to 10.
Yes.
Okay.
And so next day, went in, started Pitocin at 8 in the morning, all the way until 1. And nothing happened. And I told her, I was like, I have a high pain tolerance. And Shay was just looking at me like, you crazy person. So she was like, all right, well, if nothing happens by 1:30, we're going to go ahead and do a C-section. And I was like, okay.
Great.
My mom had a C-section, so I was kind of mentally prepared. I was like,
yeah,
my body does a lot of the things her body does. So yeah.
You're like, that's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah.
And literally, I had a C-section. And my best friend was in the room, Lacey, and she, you know, was taking pictures. And she was just like, Shay was in the room. I was proud. He like didn't pass out or anything.
Isn't that funny that the guys, like you're the one in labor, but the guys are like the ones like stressing out.
Yes.
And, like,
yes. But in this case, I think he probably had like a good reason to be, because I was sliced open and he was seeing all the things.
I mean, that's a lot to see.
Yeah. I didn't see it because there's a curtain up. So I'm just like, my body's being jerked around. And she was just like,
isn't that crazy what happens to the female body?
It's wild.
Did it feel wild when it was happening?
It did, because I couldn't feel it, but I could feel my body being kind of tugged around.
Yeah. And knowing that.
Knowing what was happening.
When the curtain comes down, there's going to be a baby that was living in you.
Yes.
That's just crazy.
In fact, the anesthesiologist put my hands. He was like, I'm going to put these, he was trying to think of a gentle way to say it, but he was going to handcuff me to the table. And so what did he call him? He called him. He was like, I'm going to put these soft
locks on your hands.
Yeah. These soft bracelets. And I'm like, cufflets? And he was like, wow, that's nice. You could tell the next patient was going to hear the word cufflets because he was like, that sounds really pleasant.
Cufflets.
And so he's like, you know, just in case, you know, you jerk or react or anything. I'm like, okay, well, when the baby came out, when Asher came out, they like pulled him up and I'm like laying there. Shay scoops him up. He was crying and Shay talked to him and he was like, Daddy's here. Immediately stop crying. And I'm like looking at him. I can't see because Shay's over there and I'm like strapped to the table. And I'm like, excuse me.
Hello.
Can I see you? Literally, there's a picture of me like in the background and I'm just like, look. Shay's like so proud and he's like got the baby and I'm like, hello, anybody?
anybody hello.
Yeah, so that was great. But all that to say, sometimes no plan is the best plan. I'm not saying everything. I think if you want to start a business, you should probably have a business plan. Don't be crazy. But just for things like that, maybe just less is more.
I love hearing women tell their stories about getting pregnant, having their babies. How amazing is Hannah telling her story with the cufflets? Oh my gosh. And I love how she said sometimes having no plan is the best plan. And I think that is the way to do it. Be relaxed. Like, you can't stress out. I think something that helps to not stress out is to understand when your fertile window is. And that's why I am such an advocate for this Ava bracelet. Because all of us women who are wanting to have babies, we do all the different things. Peeing on the sticks, taking your temperature to try to figure out when you're ovulating, when that fertile window is. Ava bracelet is making it so easy. All you got to do is put this bracelet on when you go to sleep at night. You connect to the Ava app in the morning and you get all the insights that you need on your fertile window. It doubles your chances of conceiving. So I am such a fan of the Ava bracelet. I wear it. If you want to grow your family, I could not suggest this more. Go to avawomen.com, avawomen.com, and enter the code REALTALK for $20 off your order. You will not regret it. Okay, Hannah, tell us more.
Where did you get your strength in your faith?
Definitely my family.
Because you lean on it. Like,
I lean on it.
And you write very inspiring, faith-driven things on your Instagram, which I love.
Thank you. I have to say, that's kind of a new thing. Writing has always been a strong suit of mine.
You're really good at expressing your thoughts.
Thank you. I do much better on paper than I do verbally, so I was kind of nervous about today.
You were?
Yes, I was. I like to articulate. I like to put it to paper and like read it and then edit it.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I think you're a flawless speaker.
Thank you.
Your thoughts flow so easily.
I've got some caffeine in me, so it's going well for now. But definitely got that from my parents. And I know Shay got his from his. And so.
Well, and what is it like being married to Shay? Because he's the funniest person walk the face of the earth.
He's the seven. He's the enthusiast. So.
Michael's the seven.
Yes. They're just the life of the party people.
Michael wants to have people around all the time.
All the time.
He wants to hang out.
All the time.
Michael's really funny. But Shay is like, his humor is
funny.
Is next level.
I'm going to tell you.
Do you laugh all the time?
Not trying to date Shay Mooney, but like when we did text, I was just like, man, this guy's so funny. And I never would have admitted that to him. But all my friends were like, look at you. And I'm like,
oh, and you have to say how he beat down your walls.
He did. Well, he was just mostly he was patient. I had really gone through it in past relationships and I was in that still season.
Oh, yes. So glad we're circling back to this.
Yes.
So the still season, but you were okay with it. It wasn't bad still.
Great with it.
You were like happy with yourself.
My friends were like, girlfriend, aren't you freaking out? You like don't have a job. You don't know where you're going to live.
And I'm like, no.
God's got it.
Okay. I'm sort of trying to come out of a still season and I'm just like, okay, God. I need to let him have it though.
Let him have it because I'll say this. I wasn't ready to come out. I was so comfortable. I was like, this is wonderful. Shay came bebopping along, and I could literally feel God trying to kick me out of the nest.
Well, and it's not just anybody bebopping around. It's like the most big personality bebopper ever. Yes. So it's like, you're about to go big here.
Yes. But totally, he wasn't my type.
Okay, what was your type normally?
My type was 6'4", football player. Yeah, like... giant athletic men were my type. Okay. And then here comes Shay with the voice of an angel.
I mean, he has the best voice ever.
And again, I never would have told him
that
I was impressed.
For anyone listening, he's in Dan and Shay. He yes. is the Shay.
He is the Shay of Dan and Shay.
He is the Shay.
Man, the first time I met him was at a concert. I just went because it was in the town that I lived in. And I could tell he was scanning the crowd for me all night.
He was?
He was. And he couldn't find me. I was perched because I'm a percher. I like to sit and like perch from above.
Like you just knew he was looking for you even though you hadn't met?
Well, because he wanted to see me after. He'd been trying to see me.
Y'all had met each other before. Okay.
We had been in communication for a couple of years off and on. Just as friends. Because Arkansas is a small place.
Okay.
And so... social media.
Okay.
You know, every once in a while he would drop a line and be like, hey, if you're ever in Nashville. And I was like, whatever. And, you know, he just happened to be in town. And so I went and I told him and he knew I was coming and he wanted me to come hang out after. And I was like, okay, well, we'll see. So I could tell he was just looking for me in the crowd.
Okay.
Found me at the very end and just lit up like a Christmas tree.
Are you serious?
Did. I could just, it was a small room so you could, you know, eye contact kind of thing.
And he was after you from the start.
He was after me and I was stressed about it. I was like, boy, I'm not trying to date. Me and Jesus, you know, we got this.
Oh, yeah.
And so he asked me that night to be his date to the ACMs in Dallas the next month. And I was like, I'll go as your friend.
Yeah.
I was like, I've been through too much to date someone that is once again in, you know, the spotlight, an industry, like this lifestyle that athletes are in and like singers. And I'd never dated a singer, but I was like, I don't think I want to be a part of that at all. Yeah. Doesn't sound good.
Yeah. It sounds like it could be a lot of roadblocks.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I went with him and that weekend, you know, when the awards weren't happening, it was like a 2-day long thing and we had a lot of time to talk and he just kept pestering me to let down my walls, just kind of like poking at me.
You're like, no, these walls, I've spent a lot of years building these walls.
Exactly.
I'm cozy inside of this fortress.
Yes.
Like, I ain't letting these walls down for you.
Yeah, not at all. I was like, no, I'm good. And he wanted me to be his girlfriend. He's going to be so embarrassed. And I was just like, no. But finally, He wasn't having no. And I finally got so annoyed.
But how good does it feel to be that pursued?
Man. I mean, looking back, I'm like, that was, I needed that.
Yeah. You needed someone to hunt you down.
I did. But I finally got so annoyed that I was just like, okay, you know what? I'll tell you what I think. This is the next person I date, I'm going to marry. The next person I date, they're going to lead my family. He's going to be a man of Christ, and we're going to center our relationship there. And I was like, I'm not going to settle. And I was like, sorry if I sound like a Bible thumper, but I've just dealt with too much. I don't want to do games. I'm ready.
Yeah.
And usually saying any of those things.
So you're prepared to scare him right off.
Man, I was trying.
You're like, this is it. Like,
I threw down the gauntlet. I was like, I laid it all out there. And I was like, you know, now
here you
what?
Go. Drop the mic.
That boy's eyes lit up.
He's like, this is what I was dying to hear.
He had been waiting to hear those words his whole life. He was
really?
Like, literally, I saw it in his face. And my stomach just dropped. And when he left, I called up my best friend. And I was like, oh, my. I was like, he loves me.
Oh, Asher woke up.
He's crying. Should I go get him? Probably can't talk. I'll go get him in a minute. He's fine.
Okay.
Shay is literally letting him cry so I can hear him. He's thinking maybe I'll come up there.
Like a wife, Hannah?
He's like, anybody? Anyway, but Shay's my one. Man, he's my person. God knew what he was doing. Maybe he wasn't my type per se, but he is everything and more.
So what is it that you love so much about Shay, and how have y'all made it work in this crazy life? Because this life isn't for everyone.
It's not.
But it's awesome.
It's not. And you know, sometimes I say I didn't choose it, but I chose Shay, and this is what he was put on earth to do, man, and I wouldn't change that for anything. This is what he was born to do, and I love him, and I love anything that he loves, you know? And there's, you know,
Has it been fun watching it evolve and see his dreams come true and like you being a part of this whole ride and experience and I mean being a part of the career, like your wedding was in the song Speechless. Has that been fun to let it be this like group thing too?
It's been because
y'all have been, the wives have been very included in this journey.
We have. And it's been crazy because again, like I didn't ask for it, you know? And I think a lot of people probably think, oh, well, you know, these girls are trying to catch them a singer. And it's like, no, no, but we chose them and we chose their hearts and we chose to love them and all the things that they love to do, which is this. Mm-hmm. And so it has been fun and it's been a blessing to be able to see that growth because we have kind of been there. I know Abby's been there for 2 years before I came along, 2 or 3 years. Or four. I mean, she's seen them since the radio tour days.
Yeah.
And then I came along shortly after and then things just picked up from there. It's been wild.
What have you loved about this entertainment whirlwind and what's been the high and the low?
I think, man, there's a lot of alone time for me, which, mm-hmm. you know, to be fair, that's probably for the best.
Shay, why do you say that?
Shay, he is the people person. He gets to be out there and do the things that just, you know, fill him up. They fill his tank. And I enjoy home time.
I love being alone.
Man, dude, I love it. This is like my jam right here. This is like a one-on-one. Oh,
I love it. Michael, when he's home, he's also a 7 on the Enneagram. I'm a 4. I'm a romantic, which I feel like is the worst sign. We're so deep and emotional.
I got a little 4 in me. I'm a 9 with a side of 4.
Okay.
I'm a 9 with a side of 2 and 4. So
a helper and romantic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a 4 with a side of 1. Perfectionist. Yep. The worst. I mean, not the worst, but just like
I need a little bit of you in my life. Combo. We need a little bit of the, I don't organize well, I don't plan.
I can help
you. I need a little bit of you in my life.
But I'm like, I'm so emotional, but then trying to control everything on top of it.
Right. You're like, I need it all to be perfect, but then all the feelings.
All the feelings. Oh, man. But what was I saying? What were we talking about? Oh, being alone. I love being alone. Like Michael, when he's home, he can be home alone for 30 minutes. And then he's like calling up friends, trying to figure out something to do.
This one.
Want to have someone over to grill.
Same. He gets off the road and he's like, let's have people over tonight. And I'm like, can I just have you for a second?
Same with Michael. But I'm like, he has made me so much more social.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I love people.
Yes.
I love people. But I think back to what you ask about the struggle, like the good and the bad. I think the hardest thing has been for us to figure out a healthy balance so that I do get that one-on-one time with him and he also gets filled because he doesn't get to see his friends when he's on the road.
Right.
And so we both need different things, but I need that time from him and then he needs that time with everyone.
So have you figured out a balance?
We're getting better.
Okay.
We're definitely getting better.
So what is it looking like? You're having a date night or you're just having a good moment, like a couple hours?
We definitely tried to start the old date night like once a week. Of course, things have been busy. It's holiday season.
It's hard.
It's just hard.
Yeah.
We don't strictly enforce that, but Sundays especially, if he's home on a Sunday, I really try and make that our family day because we go to church, we have dinner. And that night, if he wants to have buddies over and I have friends over, that's great.
But you have a great day.
Yeah.
I love that.
Great day. And you know what? Don't think that Shay and I don't love a good Hallmark movie because you better believe that every night when he's home, we've got some holiday movies going.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I love that.
We're pretty. Yeah.
Will he fight? Like, will he?
That's another thing. Well, that's another thing about us. Because me being the peacemaker and him being, he does not, neither of us can stand to be mad long.
Michael can't either.
Can't handle it.
I can. I can, like, be all emotional and moody about it. But Michael will not. He will just.
I can't because I'm a peacemaker. And I'm like, I just want peace. And he can't stand.
Like, anything not being fun and happy.
Yeah. He can't stand anything confrontational. And so together, we're both kind of on that same, like, let's just get past this. Literally.
Which is great.
We fight, and then 2 seconds later, we're like, I'm sorry. And then he's so playful. And it's like,
But I love that you embraced that of him. You know,
he's like a big kid.
Like, I'm glad that he, having his personality, was able, and you having your personality. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that y'all were able to find each other and not fight it.
Definitely.
You know?
And I did. Up until I let those walls down, I was like, no. But I literally felt God nudging me. And he was like, you need this. Yeah. You need this guy. I made him for you. Specifically. So you're going to have to go ahead and I'm so glad she was so patient with me.
So he was like, he just knew. He signed up from the beginning.
He literally, the night that he met me for the first time, he told his friend Benji, he was there that night. He was like, I'm going to marry her. He loves to tell that story. But it's true,
so
he did.
Good. And then finally, when did you come around? In Dallas, after you told him all your walls?
Man, even months after that, I think that was in the spring. And I think it was around June or July that I was finally like, okay, he's the one. Like, I knew it. I was just fighting it. You know what I mean?
Was it finally like you had just never felt this at home with someone?
It was, I absolutely, without a shadow of doubt, knew that he was like the person that was put on earth for me. And the moment that, like, we had some heart-to-hearts and some conversations, and he just loved me unconditionally. I was like, you love me like Jesus, and this is the way it's supposed to be. I was like, this is it. You're the one. And we knew we were going to get married. Like, all of it.
Oh, my gosh.
It kind of happened fast, but I feel like when you know, you know.
Yeah. You do.
And then after that, it was long distance. I was in Arkansas.
Okay.
And a year after that, we found out we were pregnant.
Oh,
but
so
we had already looked at rings. He had already asked my dad's blessing. And then we found that out on top of it. And I was like, well.
Hey, might as well just fast forward it all.
Okay. So we did. We like hit fast forward and I moved here. I became a mom and a wife and we got a house and it was all the seasons wrapped
all
up
at one.
And his career and just like.
That all was like in 1 year?
It was in 1 year.
How did your brain explode?
I didn't have my brain.
Are you even able to process what's happening or are you just like,
man,
doing it?
I was on autopilot.
Yeah.
Are we so late?
No,
am
we're
I
doing
just
great.
Talking your ear off?
No, this is great.
Okay.
There's no time frame in this world.
Okay. Well, I did. I feel like it was just a lot packed into one season. He was gone.
Were you able to like?
I had no friends here.
Hold
no
it all together? Or did you have some breakdowns?
I think because I'm a peacemaker, I keep things in, I bottle it up, and also I go numb.
Mm-hmm.
And so I literally just didn't. I'm not a crier.
You're not?
Oh, if I cry, it's bad. If I cry, Shay knows. It's like if there are tears and
there's a problem.
There's a problem.
Problem.
Yeah. Red flag.
Watch out.
So it was really probably one of the hardest seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was every life transition happening literally in the span of a few months.
And you're kind of being a single parent too.
And it was alone. And then I had the baby and he had
and you're in a new city, like you said, with no friends.
New city, no friends, no family.
New baby,
had a
no
C-section,
husband.
So it's like a major surgery.
And you're the only one here? Do you have help?
Mom stayed with me 2 weeks and okay. Shay was here, but then left after 2 weeks. And so all of a sudden.
Empty house.
Empty with a newborn after a surgery. Now my best friend was here, but then she does mission work. And so she was in Haiti or Africa most of this time. And
so
I
what
was
happens
just,
to you? What did you do after those 2 weeks?
Well, I'll be honest. There was some PPD involved and
PPD.
Some postpartum.
Oh,
it was like,
yeah, definitely.
Ooh. And I had him in, you know, winter. So it was cold dark. And I'm pretty sure I have seasonal depression. So.
And not to mention, like, I've moved cities a couple times. And every time I move to a new town, I have depression.
Yes.
Because it's like everything
it's so
is new.
Isolating.
You don't know where you are. Yeah. You don't know anything. Nothing's familiar.
I'm
you
like
have no
trying
friends.
To figure out how to keep a little baby alive.
And you're trying to keep a baby alive. Your body's hurting.
Yeah. I didn't feel good. I didn't feel like myself.
And it's probably the first time you're living in the same place with your husband.
Right. Literally every live season. Man, it was all the things.
You and Kristen Bruss are very similar.
She literally came over to my house a week after Asher's. He was a week old.
Kristen
and,
did?
Yes. And love was like one. And I have pictures of it. And I was like, who is this girl? And I was like, I don't know, but she's sweet.
That's amazing. She
and
just
she
knew.
She knew. It was like her sensor was on. And she was like, it's okay. She was like, welcome into the fold. I'm pretty sure all of you girls at the awards, the BMIs maybe? It was all blur, and I'm terrible with names. I'm good with faces, but I couldn't tell you names. And so that was also a struggle for me because you move here and everyone's like, hi, because they know you because you're the wife of someone.
Yes.
But then you're like, have I met him before?
Yes. It's so much. It's so fast.
And then you feel like a jerk if you don't know.
You just got to give yourself grace. Have you gotten to a point where you're good at giving yourself grace?
I am. I'm definitely, you know, now that we have Asher, it's like my priorities are I'm going to take care of my family. I'm going to make sure that I have time and energy for that. Mm-hmm. And the other stuff, it's just going to have to come next.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to put God up here and then family, and then the rest of it I'll worry about. And that's where I think I mentioned this earlier, in the last 6 months to a year. Once Asher hit a year, I started to get the hang of things.
Okay.
That confidence you were talking about.
You got it, because you understood him now.
Yes.
He's got his little personality coming out.
We had a routine, and I'm more comfortable in this town, and I know more people and more moms.
Mm-hmm.
And so once I hit that, I was like, you know, I got this. I got it. It's a good place, and my following started to grow, which was weird to me.
And that's great, because then you could start like really expressing yourself right. in that way.
Well, and that's what I did.
And having an outlet.
Yes.
And I feel like I watched you turn into this.
I feel like you probably saw it like blossom. Because
you really
happen.
Started expressing yourself through fashion. You started expressing it through yes. your words. You started yes. really sharing your family life with us.
And
you being know, open about it all.
I've always loved fashion and photography and art and all the creative things. And I've always loved words. And so it makes sense that on social media that would be, that obviously sounds like a good place to, mm-hmm. it's pictures, it's fashion. It's like.
And it's you, all things
yes,
you.
Yes, it is. And so that was accessible to me.
You could do it while having Asher.
Yes.
Do things from home.
Yes. Now. People always ask me, they're like, oh, well, you know, how does it feel to have like so many people looking at you? And I'm like, always since I was a child, I was uncomfortable. I've never been the look at me attention person,
mm-hmm.
but I have it. And so what I say is, you know, I happen to be married to someone who has a spotlight on him, but I am his wife. And so I stand, you know, this, I stand in the side of his spotlight. Like right next to him. So there's a lot of eyes, and I didn't ask for those eyes.
Yeah.
But I have them. And so
you're going to do something with
what
it.
What I'm going to do is just point up. And I know that's cheesy. That's so cheesy.
No, that's so
but
great.
I'm like, I didn't do this. God did this. God blessed me with this wonderful life, and I've got eyes on me. And the best thing I can do is just give glory back to him, because I didn't do any of it myself.
That's amazing.
Literally did nothing.
That's
except
amazing.
Marry the man of my dreams and have this sweet baby and just, so then I was
and have
like,
a lot of faith.
And have a lot of faith. And I was like, the best thing I can do, and you know what? I have a lot of cousins and a lot of little girls from the pageant days that follow me and that have always just, even from those days of speaking at elementary schools, those little girls, those have turned into young women. And like mm-hmm. these people are still watching. And I'm like,
and
I
it's
just,
important to you to put a good message out there for
so
them.
It's so important, because you would not believe the messages I get a day on direct messages that people are like, thank you so much for being like a positive role
and you're
model.
Honest about stuff. You're honest about your faith. You're honest about like parenting stuff. You're on, like I read through a lot of your stuff and like you had like a whole thing about parenting, about doing versus like doing versus,
being present is so hard.
Being present instead of just like feeling you always have to do the next thing
yes.
or like read the next book or
being
have
the Pinterest mom,
being the Pinterest mom. You're like so much more is just from your kids seeing you
yes.
be the person that you are.
I mean, that's how I learned. Like now that I'm a parent, I look back and I can't tell you a lot of conversations maybe that I had with my parents about necessarily how to live life, but I've watched them live it, you know?
And you just know from the way they live.
Just in the way that people look at my mom, especially, she's just like Mother Teresa. She just always, she's so selfless. She takes care of everyone else except for her.
Wow.
But she does it because she loves people and she's got a heart for them and she's serving them, you know?
Is she a two?
I want to say she's either a two or a nine because yeah. she's also kind of a peacemaker, but
she's been a great example,
man. She's my rock. She's my go-to girl. I call my mom every day.
Are you pretty good at not sweating the small stuff? Like even when you were in your big, big year of like new city, new husband, new baby, new life, new everything, were you able to like
That was a hard year, but once I got past...
You're able to not get hung up and move fast.
Yeah.
You're always so light.
Yes. You just can't stress about all the little things.
And she'll miss all the joy.
Shay's the same way. And I think that's why we're a really healthy balance because I wonder what people think when they see us together because I feel like they're like, wow, she's really quiet. And then Shay's like, da 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 da. Like,
no, I don't think so. I think when I see you guys, y'all just look like a perfectly complimented couple.
Oh, thank you.
Really?
Thank you. But we do compliment because he's the love of the party. And I love people, but I also love more intimate, you know, environments like this or like a small gathering.
Yes. I feel the same way. We can really get to know. I can work a room, but it wears me out.
Oh, exhausting.
I mean, I'm like, time it's done, I'm like, oh my God, I got to sleep for a week.
And even when Shay and I were dating, I was like, please no. Like he saw me in my comfort place. He saw me when I was still home in Arkansas with all my friends. And I kind of felt like I could be the life of the party because I was comfortable. And these were all the people that loved me. And then I moved here and just became this shell of a person because
everything's brand new. You're not your comfort zone.
And you don't know who is who or who's friends with who. And I don't want to step on anyone's toes. Or I certainly didn't want anyone thinking I came into this town like with any motives other than to be a wife and a mama.
And I do think, don't you think the community of country music especially is so inviting and open and so supportive?
So supportive. You probably know. I feel like they've pitched so many people about having a show for the wives.
I know.
And I'm like, good luck with that because this is an actual family, an actual community. And I think everyone has too much love and respect to
ever throw anyone under the bus or do anything that would jeopardize
exactly. it. Exactly. Because even if people aren't under the same labels, someone might be a producer or someone might be this or that. And it's just, you might write with them, you might this or that.
Everyone's so supportive.
It's a community. Roots for everyone. It's literally a big family.
Yeah.
And my gosh, if there is anywhere that I moved outside of Arkansas, I had said this before I'd even met Shay, years before I met him. I was like, if I moved anywhere, it would be Nashville because it feels like small town, but a city.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed that because I'm a farm girl. I need a little bit of country. But he needs a little bit of socialization. So
this is perfect.
It's perfect.
Okay, so I'm going to wrap up. I got a couple questions and just answer how you feel. What is love to you?
Love? One of my old roommates and I, we had a saying and we would always say, leave your judgments at the door. And for some reason, my whole life, people I'm not even close to would come to me with things and just pour out their hearts to me. And I think to me, love is just not judging someone, not just letting them come to you and loving on them without judgments, without expectations, because we're all human. And I mean, wouldn't you want someone to love on you?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want to come to someone and have no, like, feel safe and not judged? I think that's what love is to me.
I love that.
Just having that judgment free, unconditional.
You can be who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. What's the point of this life?
Well, it's not us. It's not about us. It's not. It's about, you know, I think foundations have been laid for myself and for Shay to give back and to do for people who can't and who weren't blessed to be in the positions that we're in. And so, you know, my purpose is to give glory to God and to make sure that other people know that they are loved by God, you know?
Oh, Hannah, you sweet angel.
I'm not a sweet angel.
Yes, you are. You look like an angel, too.
Well, I'm as bright white as an angel right now. I thought about putting my tan on before you came over, but then I'd be orange. So,
okay, and last question. Leave your light. This whole interview's been inspiring, but I always like to just leave your light, how you want to inspire people, what you want people to know. What's your message that you're...
Shoot. I mean, I guess I go back to Old Faithful. everyone's got a gift. Everyone's got something. I mean, again, it doesn't have to be entertainment value. It doesn't have to be something that you can see even, you know, look at your heart. I mean, you are like what are they called? They call people in, they beacon them in. They're lights. It's a lighthouse. You're a lighthouse. That's what you are. That's how your joy is. You just radiate it and you draw people into you like a lighthouse.
That's really nice. And I don't always feel like a lighthouse.
You are. Because I know when I first moved here, you're one of the first people that I like recognized. And you would come to me in a room, even though I didn't know you. And you just made me feel like it's okay. And just to have that familiar face, man.
Aw, like you, well, thank you.
You are just such a joy.
Well, I feel the same as you. I want everyone to feel loved. Like, and I think it's maybe because I felt broken a lot of my mm-hmm. life too. And like, I hate that feeling. It brings tears to my eyes. Like, I don't want anybody to feel like they're not worthy or good enough mm-hmm. or they don't belong yep. or they have to be perfect. Because that's exhausting.
It's exhausting. It's not relatable.
No. And I'm like, not that way. And so I just want everyone to be like, we're good. We're all good.
It's fine.
Yeah.
We're good. It literally, I just, sometimes I tell people like the low lows and it's like, look, that was me and that was my life and we're all human.
And it's like sharing low lows. I have learned like even like on Instagram, and you're so great at sharing. Sometimes I'll share something really personal and then I'll have like this major regret about it. I'm like, oh my God, I overshared. I'm like,
I do that too.
I'm like, the only emotional wreck out there.
Was it too much information? Like, did I make someone uncomfortable? That's my big.
Now people know I'm like total mess. It's exposed.
Yeah. I never want to make anyone uncomfortable. And I think that was my hang up for so long. And then this last year when people started following me like crazy, I was like, stop. And I was like, okay, well, let me just put this out there for you because.
Let me help you where I have learned.
Right.
Yeah. You're amazing. Yep.
Hannah, I'm so glad amazing. We did this.
I am too. And I can't wait to go hear what's going on upstairs. It sounds like a whole racetrack is going on.
It sounds like he found his beep beep. He loves that car.
Hannah, you're an angel.
Oh,
thank you so much for joining me. Thank you all so much for joining me on my Wives Edition, Women in Music City, Hannah Mooney. What an angel she is. I find it so fun to get insights into these women's lives because we know about their husbands, their artists, they're out there in the public's eye, but the women are so fantastic and interesting, and it's just so awesome to hear their stories and get a peek into their lives. So I'm so grateful Hannah joined me. Next week, I have Jenna Perdue. She is amazing. She's married to DJ Silver, that's his stage name. He is a fantastic DJ. He goes out with Jason Aldean, Chris Young, Dierks Bentley, he's with everyone. He's the DJ in country music. He's so awesome. We got to tour with him when my husband was touring with Jason Aldean, and we really got to know him and Jenna, and I love Jenna. And Jenna and I get real. We talk about miscarriage, and it's a real topic because we've both gone through it. And she was brave enough to talk about it, and she wants to spread this message, and she wants to spread her story because I feel and she feels that it's something that we need to talk about. And so I'm so grateful that Jenna was willing to talk to me about this. Her episode's next week. Y'all will not want to miss it. It's such a real personal episode, and especially if you've gone through that, you'll want to hear it because she is just really honest and amazing, and her soul is so beautiful. So I'm so grateful she's joining me next week. And I just got to wrap up with saying thank you to Ava for partnering for this episode. We obviously, all of us are women who I'm interviewing right now. A lot of the women are moms. Jenna's coming on next week, gone through a miscarriage. I've gone through a miscarriage as well. Women who are trying to conceive are coming on this episode. So Ava is awesome because it is making learning your fertile window so much easier. It makes it so easy. You don't have to pee on the stick. You don't have to check your temperature every day. You just put this bracelet on, you go to sleep, you connect to the Ava app in the morning, and you get all the insights that you need about your fertile window. It doubles your chances of conceiving. I've been wearing it. You got to check it out. Go to avawomen.com, avawomen.com, and enter the code REALTALK for $20 off your order. If you're trying to grow your family, you're going to want the Ava bracelet. So thank you guys so much for joining me. And Hannah, I cannot wait to see you guys next week with Jenna. Y'all are the best. I love you guys so much. Peace.